Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With Capella University's FlexPath format, you can set your own deadlines, learn at your pace, and access most coursework from anywhere at any time. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Motherhood has been a really interesting topic and journey for us both, you know, as a same-sex couple, as the parent of that is not biologically related to my child. I think a lot about what that process and experience of motherhood means to me, and how connected it needs to be to anything doing with biology or not. Yeah. From a long time ago, we kind of envisioned a family where we might both biologically carry one of our children. And so as we approach the decision of what to do with that plan of like each carrying one, I'm on a daily basis still kind of pondering, like, do I actually want to be pregnant?
Right.
Do I want that experience?
Right.
Do I want the experience of like being biologically related to my child? Mm-hmm. How important are all these factors
right.
in this decision?
This is Motherhood Sessions. I'm Dr. Alexandra Sachs. Today we're talking to a couple we're calling Mia and Laura. Laura carried their 3-year-old daughter, and they always imagined that Mia would get pregnant with their second child. But now that they're facing this decision, Mia is trying to figure out if she really wants to carry a baby after all, and what it would mean if she gave up that opportunity.
Do you know, if I were to ask you, do you want to carry a baby? Do you feel like that's something you want to do?
I don't know. I mean, part of the question for me is around, I think I've always been concerned around gender presentation. I'm like a masculine of center lesbian woman. I wear mostly men's clothes. I was always like kind of cast as like tomboy growing up. But in my childhood and into like my adolescence, there was always an emphasis on appearance. I was put in dresses all through, and I fought it. And I was, you know, there's pictures of me at my first communion where I'm wearing this like white. My mom like made and like embroidered, like made this beautiful white dress for my first communion. And then I got home and my like presents were like a baseball mitt and a baseball bat. And I went upstairs and put on these like ratty gray sweatpants and like ratty like tennis shoes underneath the dress and like ran around the yard, which I feel like is kind of a symbolic to a lot of my like my kind of childhood, where I was trying to find this way to exist as I really wanted to be and still maintain the kind of appearance that others expected of me.
Yeah.
It's taken me a long time, I think, in my own journey of self and identity to find that kind of nice spot that I feel like that between fashion and just, you know, and the way that I choose to express myself with my gender. And I know that like the experience of being pregnant would make, I fear, and I'm pretty sure that this fear would be warranted, with that I would feel kind of outside of my body a lot, or my body would not feel like my own, and not just because it was carrying another person, but that it would make me feel very kind of alien to myself. So
you're kind of seeing yourself as not enjoying it.
Yeah, I don't think I would. I think I would feel kind of like, get me out of this. Yeah.
Laura, do you, when you initially discussed this, I'll have a baby, then you'll have a baby, was a part of you like, I don't really see Mia. I don't know if Mia would like having a baby. Like, did it ever occur to you that maybe?
Maybe I would have both.
No. That maybe why would she want to do it?
I think back then I was actually just thinking too about even like gender expression. Like, when did you last have long hair? Because there was a while where I would have shorter hair and she'd have longer hair and like this long, thick brown hair that we would like twist into braids. And there are still pictures that are not too far away of you in like in a dress, like a serious dress. But it seems now so much further away from where we're standing now. And that makes me think a little bit that like when we started this process, your relationship to also a feminine outward appearance was still not that distant. And so imagining you in maternity clothes wasn't as hard almost for me as it is now.
So seeing her now, how she's comfortable in her own skin now, how do you imagine her?
I do worry about it a little bit. Like I have a little fear around, the thing that you spoke about being like, that you would feel kind of like I really wanted this and now I don't really want this. And that feeling of being kind of in the moment and being like, why did I decide to do this? And I do have a worry about your relationship to your body and how that would change in pregnancy and how that would make you feel. I share that.
What's that like to hear?
I think she knows me really well, and hearing her say that is like really honest. And I think she knows like moments of smaller versions of that, like when, you know, time of the month and like, you know, my boobs get too like bigger than they normally are. And she hears me like, I don't like the kind of manifestation of my femininity in those moments. Mm. And so like pregnancy is like the hyper example of that.
Yeah. It may be hard to articulate, or maybe not, and maybe easy to articulate. What does it feel like for you when you are having your period or premenstrual and your breast change? Like you said, it feels, what is that like?
It's more discomfort. It's because it feels like it's a part of my body that I try to kind of minimize and cover up. And then when it's harder to do so, mm-hmm. it's like frustrating to me, I think because, and this is how I've kind of come to terms with it. It's not, I don't wish I had a man's body, which is why I haven't transitioned. Like I don't think I want to be in that other box, right?
Yeah.
But I do think I exist kind of in the middle of the spectrum. And yeah. So when my breasts swell, it's harder to exist in the middle.
Yeah.
And it feels like I'm not in control at that moment of how, or it's just like, it's a harder moment of it that it's just like, I want to get back to who I am and that belief that I can exist where I want to exist.
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Samsung, Expedia, and Sephora. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
New year, new credit scores. Chime makes it easier to build credit using your own money and on-time payments with the secure Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card. Use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. To apply, just open a Chime checking account with a qualifying direct deposit. There's no annual fee or credit check required when applying. Get started at Chime.com/build. That's Chime.com/build. The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary.
I wanted to hear a little bit about your process getting to know and bonding with your daughter in light of this thing about how you imagined it would feel to bond with a baby who you didn't birth, who wasn't biologically connected to you. Was it immediate that you felt like you were a mother? Mm. Or when did it really kind of start to click for you?
I think that I don't know exactly. There was like one moment that really felt like a clicking moment. I think that motherhood, especially those like infancy moments, for me, there was a ton of bonding that happened over like this project. We jokingly called her the science project, right? That we were like not sure how any of that, no matter what you read or what people tell you, like you're like, I don't know what is going to happen in the next 4 hours, let alone the next like 4 weeks. Yeah. And kind of being in that with you and with our daughter all the time, I feel like you bond, like you, and that other kind of intellectual debate that I'd been having with myself around, oh, she's not biologically related to me, like did just really started to fall away. And I think that I was really happy in that role as your like supportive partner. I really enjoyed, and I am continuing to enjoy my experience of motherhood as it stands, right? Which seems like now saying, like that should inform like anything more than like, I don't know, all this kind of worry and anxiety and all the contemplating of different options. Like, I really like the experience we've had so far. Why not replicate it?
You're also so good at it. You know, like it's like you took enjoyment at it, but like it was so many things that like I was just thinking about being this, you know, in the first weeks when we were home together, like as this new family, and just me figuring out motherhood and figuring out this crazy postpartum body, and just how I just remember thinking about like also the way in which you like just nestled into that space of like caretaking, not only for our newborn but also for me. And I think about that often, about like you called me a nurturer, but how much you are a nurturer for me. Mm. And thinking about like I do have a relationship to that I would be like, well, it'd be really interesting to be on the other side of that. But like it was such this, you took care so well of both a pregnant mom and then a new mom. And I think about that selfishly, right? of like, were we to do it again? Like, damn straight, I'd want you to be like,
you know. And it's no less of an important role. I mean, that is the traditional role of fathers, and they're important.
Yeah.
Mia, do you feel like you're missing out on anything in your relationship with your daughter?
In my relationship with her, I don't think so. I'm at a stage right now where I don't feel any difference between us as far as nobody's more of a mother, or even that different of a mother based on anything that's led us up to this point, whether it's breastfeeding or caring or whatever.
Yeah. And I forget that, like, I don't even know why I even like entertain it, but I like do sometimes look at them together, like sitting on the couch, like yesterday when she woke up in her whale pajamas, or I don't know if it was that morning. No, it was yesterday. And the way she just was like extended on you. And I forget that there wasn't some sort of physiological chemistry.
Yeah.
Physiology, whatever. There wasn't a scientific making of her that consisted of you and me. You know, I don't know. I forget that. So
right, and I think that in identifying that it's not about the scientific making and that the biology and bonding don't work that way. You've learned that as a family. And Mia, you've named today quite clearly the reasons why you are not sure you would like physically carrying a baby. So I guess considering that you have a system that has worked so well, where are you getting stuck in wondering if you should do it differently, do it this other way?
Yeah. I think watching Lauren go, Lauren was also the kind of like pregnant woman who like loved it. And like, it was just this experience that like she glowed and like she liked the prenatal vitamins or whatever. She just, everything fit when she was pregnant. And I got to like kind of watch that and just be amazed by it and get to support. And even through childbirth, getting to be present at the birth and just say like, this is an incredible thing that we're able to do as a woman. And as kind of a more male-presenting woman, there's a lot of times where I don't feel like really a lot of thankfulness and, you know, gratitude for being female. But I think in that moment, I was like, wow, well, I've been putting up with all of the hard parts of being female, and that is a really, like, an amazing thing that we can do, and I feel like I want that.
Yeah.
And I want to have that experience. And so wondering down the road if I would look back and say, like, you know, I had a shot at that experience. Why didn't I take it? And then my parents have said, and I don't remember exactly when it was, but I think my dad, after I came out, he did say to me, he's like, well, I always felt like I wanted to see what your child would be like. And I think my dad has said that at least once, and it's hard because you're like, you don't want to let your parents down, no matter how old you are, especially around something that big. So it is hard to sort through, like, what if this is my attachment to that idea, and what if it is, like, external pressure
from your family?
From my family around that idea.
What's your sense of why your dad wants you to have a baby yourself?
My dad had 5 daughters. I was the closest that he had to like a son. Mm. And through the years, there's been lots of jokes of like, there's never supposed to be a favorite. But I think that my like masculine identity as a child actually really had made a very strong bond between my father and me.
Yeah.
And we've tried to downplay it our whole lives. But I think I don't know. I haven't actually asked him because I don't know if I want to know. I don't know. I don't know if I want to peel back the layers of that because it kind of makes me cringe as I like face this decision.
What about it makes you cringe?
I don't want to disappoint him, you know? I think I can also kind of understand there is something very beautiful about the, like, I think kind of like primal about this kind of people having their lineage, you know? And I don't think it's like, my parents are not like as traditional as to be like, we need a son, you know, or anything like that. It's just, I think there's a lot of this like joy in seeing genes passed on or something, or like seeing yourself in, like, or he would maybe get to see part of himself in a mm-hmm. grandchild.
Did your parents talk to you about, well, what about having kids when you told them you were gay?
Yeah. Well, so I think in college I came out kind of midway through college, and that was kind of both an incredible and like a really difficult experience. Because it challenged that ability to, like, be who others wanted me to be and who I was supposed to be. And so that's when the kind of, like, difficult parts of the journey, I would say, even with my family relationships, it was not, like, an instant, like, whatever makes you happy kind of thing. There was a lot of concern around how it would appear to extended families and also just challenging what you think, you know, the who you think your child is, which I think is hard for a lot of parents of queer kids. Towards the end of college, I started kind of going into a more just like a, I would say like, I started to just explore it a little more. I shaved my head at one point. I love my mom, but she like tried to like she in a very dramatic moment, which we laugh about now, like ran back, got my sister's like blonde wig because my sister had done a lot of like acting and stuff and tried to like put it on my head.
Wow.
And things got said like, oh, what, you know, it's essentially like your hair is so nice. Like, why'd you have to make it ugly kind of things? Things got said like that in these moments of challenging acceptance and like who people really are.
Do you think that there's something about kind of wanting to do this in this traditional way, like have a baby and be a mother, where you feel like, I don't know, I think some people feel like they have wounds from just having had the sense that their parents were disappointed by, you know, some part of their coming out process, and or that you had to walk them through it even, and that this would be somehow like repairing that or kind of some communication to your parents.
I think sometimes in this conversation around like my being a parent, sometimes I think I worry too in hearing myself say things that there's something about like pride and being able to get to the place that I am to want to like, I don't know if there's some aspect of like proving people that I could still do that even after all of this. I do think maybe as a moment of like, as an example of resilience, perhaps that could be that like the ability to go forth and like, carry a child and have a child in that way could be an emblematic of kind of that resilience and just like that ability to prove people wrong, sort of. I mean, I think there has been, you know, nobody comes out without having to prove a little bit of something to someone.
Sure.
But I think that's also where I want to catch myself and say, like, I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to prove anything to my current daughter, to my partner, to my in-laws, or to my own parents. Like, I really would rather go at it from, like, I'm doing this because this is going to make me feel good and feel right and make us feel good and feel right in our family structure.
Do you think it will make you feel good and feel right?
I don't think, I think I'm getting to the place where I definitely don't think that I need the pregnancy or the childbirth to feel like complete in my pursuit of either motherhood or of being. And I think that my relationship with my child as it currently stands doesn't even make me feel like I need the biological relationship to feel like a mother in a really full and like powerful way. I'm leaning towards thinking that this experience of motherhood has been really fulfilling so far.
Motherhood Sessions is a production of Gimlet Media. It's produced by Peter Bresnan. Our editors are Devin Taylor and Nazanin Rafsanjani. Music and mixing by Emma Munger. We'll have a brand new episode next week.
I'm 42. I'm a single mom. I intentionally, you know, had a child on my own. And so because of that, I just feel like an other, you know? I'm like an other. And while, like, most times I'm like, yes, I'm an other, that's me, and I'm proud of that other, at the same time, like, sometimes I'm like, no, I don't want to be other.